Fellow brothers, request to come closer, inshallah, to the front. A very brief lesson of hadith. We now have the volunteers gathering as well. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmadu wa nusalli wa nusallim wa ala rasulihi al-kareem. Amma ba'd. This next chapter, alhamdulillah, every Sunday we have the lessons of hadith from Riyad al-Salihin in English. So we've been having these ahadith lessons after Isha Salah. Inshallah from next week we'll move them to after Maghrib Salah, because the time's getting later now. So we'll just continue inshallah. So Imam Nawawi rahimahullah is bringing a new bab here, a new chapter here. So this entire time, those of us who've been sitting in the hadith lessons, this entire time Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has brought about three or four chapters talking about the importance of having first of all, loving each other for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then how do you create inside of you those qualities which would make Allah ta'ala love you? All of these chapters are related. And then Imam Nawawi rahimahullah, the last chapter he brought was very important, where he just very briefly mentioned the warnings of harming pious people. That because we don't know who is a pious person, we don't know who is close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in status, who is a friend, who has befriended Allah ta'ala. It's not written on anyone's faces. And many times appearances are deceiving. You can't judge a book by its cover. If you look at a person and say, oh, you know what, this person is a simple person, he's not a hafiz, he's not an alim. When he reads Arabic Quran, then his recitation of Arabic is not so fluent. So you think, oh, maybe this person, we judge them. But Allah knows how close this person is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe he's a wali of Allah. Maybe he's a saint of Allah ta'ala. So Imam Nawawi brings this, rahimahullah, brings a very brief chapter to mention this. And thereafter he brings another chapter on a similar kind of theme. So this is the chapter, inshallah, we'll start today. Babu ijra'i ahkami an-nasi 'ala adh-dhahiri wa sara'ilihim ila Allah ta'ala. The Imam Nawawi rahimahullah brings this next chapter, in which he mentions that we should judge people by their apparent, what they show, how they present themselves. And we should leave their hidden conditions to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he mentions the ayah of the Quran as always. قال الله تبارك وتعالى بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فإن تابوا وأقاموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة فخلوا سبيلهم. If they repent and they do tawbah and they establish salah and they give zakat, then فخلوا سبيلهم, leave their path. Meaning, don't say anything about them. Don't judge their iman. Does this person have iman? Does this person not have iman? Person has done tawbah from shirk, has done tawbah from their evil ways. Now they're establishing salah and they're giving zakat. So these are two of the outstanding qualities of the Muslim. Rasulullah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the ayat, this ayat of the Quran is showing us the importance of performing salah, establishing salah. Establishing salah means to perform salah with the fara'id, the wajibat, the sunan, with those things which Allah ta'ala has made fard, sunnah and wajib. Similarly, having the khushu and the khudu, the devotion, concentration inside of salah, this is all known as iqamatu salah, establishing salah, fulfilling the rights of Allah ta'ala through your salah. Your salah is not just something that you do to tick a box, fajr done, zuhr done, asr done, maghrib, isha done. Rather, there are rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala wants us to perform salah in a specific manner, in a certain manner. Allah ta'ala wants it such that when you come into salah, everything else is forgotten. Everything else is irrelevant. That's why this takbir that we do at the start of salah is known as takbir al-tahrima. The takbir with which everything becomes haram. No more speaking, no more eating, no more drinking. But the pious saints of Allah ta'ala will mention that this takbir has even made those thoughts which are not to do with Allah ta'ala, those haram as well. That your mind should not be occupied with anything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From now on, everything except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now haram on me. I am in a private conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is iqamatu salah. And the ulama always talk about this. That make your salah strong. Don't let it just be some kind of routine. That you're standing, oh yes, I've done it. No, do so much mashq of your salah and practice your salah so much. And we have to use these tips and tricks that the ulama have told us how to develop the concentration in the salah. Mawlana Ilyas Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, a great scholar, he mentions that the minimum, how to establish the concentration, devotion in salah, he gives a beautiful tip. He would say to his students that in salah, in each rukun, when you're standing, when you're in ruku, when you're in sajda, Start off by doing this. At least three times in that rukun, in that position, you should imagine that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me. So you're reading Surah Al-Fatiha, or whichever surah you're reciting, in your ruku, sajda, tasbih. At least three times in each position, think, bring this thought into your mind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me. Start off like this. So that awareness that I am in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is created. Some scholars would say, imagine that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you. Or imagine that you're standing in front of the Kaaba, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we're facing the Qibla. So these different tips and tricks are there, and these different ways and methods are there to help us establish this concentration, devotion. Like in Jamaat, they always say that you make your salah so strong, okay, through your salah you take directly from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in would treat their salah. Through salah, they would take directly from Allah ta'ala. And salah is the greatest form of ibadah. That's why in the Quran, in Surah Al-Kawthar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions, Inna a'atayna kal kawthar. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we've given you so many blessings. Kawthar means so many forms of goodness. We've given you so many blessings. And what should you do when Allah ta'ala blesses me with a blessing, what should I do? I should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I should do shukr. But Allah ta'ala says, Fasalli li rabbika. Perform salah in front of your Rabb. Meaning all of the ways in which you can thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are found inside of salah. Salah is the greatest form of ibadah. So the ulama mentioned a beautiful point, that inside of salah is the most important aspect of worship. Giving charity, going, mashallah, different charity events, and going to different countries and looking, helping the poor and needy, and doing all these different projects which our people unfortunately have given so much importance. Sometimes they give more importance to this than salah. Well, salah is the greatest act of worship, my dear respected brothers, elders, for myself as well. We need to give such importance to salah that nothing else is more important than it. And one of the key elements of the salah is to make sure we perform it inside of the masjid. Making the masjid inhabited, frequenting the masjid, staying most of our time inside of the masjid. When we leave the masjid, we should be thinking, when can I next go back to the masjid? So this is very important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning, how do you know this person is a Muslim? What's a sign that a person is a Muslim? Iqamatu salah. Fa'ing tabu, once they do tawbah from their sins, and they establish salah, and they give zakah, then leave them alone. Meaning this person is a Muslim. But nowadays we say we're Muslim, and they've got nothing to do with salah. No connection with salah. Forget reading it in the masjid, people are not even reading it at home. So this is the most fundamental, most important thing. We have children who come to madrasa, you know, in year 10, year 11, college, and they don't, you know, you ask them, did you read Fajr? They never read it. And one of the main reasons for not reading it is because nobody else at home is reading it. So nobody's waking them up. So how are they supposed to be reading it? And those same parents then say, Qari sahab, Imam sahab, Maulana sahab, we don't understand why my children are misbehaving, and why they're doing this, and why they're picking up these bad habits. If you can't create the emphasis and the importance of salah inside of their lives, then we ourselves are to blame. So we need to establish salah in our lives, and salah in the life of our children, and then zakat. We need to learn the masail of zakat, the rulings of zakat, such an important obligation. Many times in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions salah and zakat together. Salah and zakat, two of the most important practices of our deen, pillars of our deen. So Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has brought this ayat here to show that when a person does tawbah, when a person is performing their salah, and outwardly they're showing their sign of Islam by performing salah and giving zakat, then leave them alone and don't judge them, and don't say, oh, this person is like this, and this person maybe is not a Muslim, or maybe is faking it. That's not our job. We don't judge someone's iman. And the first hadith he brings, وَعَنْ إِبْنِ عُمَرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أُقَاتِلَ النَّاسَ حَتَّى يَشْهَدُوا أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُ الزَّكَاءَ فَإِذَا فَعَلُوا ذَلِكَ عَصَمُوا مِنِّي دِمَاءَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ إِلَّا بِحَقِّ الْإِسْلَامِ وَحِسَابُهُمْ عَلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, he narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that I have been commanded to fight the people until they bear witness that there is none worthy of worship except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Allah ta'ala's messenger, and they establish the salah and they give the zakat. فَإِذَا فَعَلُوا ذَلِكَ, once they do this, then عَصَمُوا مِنِّي دِمَاءَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ, then their health and their wealth is protected from me. إِلَّا بِحَقِّ الْإِسْلَامِ, except through the right of Islam. وَحِسَابُهُمْ عَلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى and their reckoning will be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a very important hadith. And this hadith, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu was narrating what happened in the time after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left the dunya. There was this so many great fitnas and tribulations that befell the Muslims. One of the greatest ones was the known as the fitna to ridda, the fitna of apostasy. Many people started leaving Islam. And then you had a lot of people who didn't leave Islam entirely, but they just stopped giving zakat. Because in those days what would happen is zakat collector would come and they say, it's time for your zakat. And you know, subhanAllah, reading one hadith, Imam Abu Dawud rahmatullahi alayhi mentions that when the zakat collector would come, because our habit is when you give in zakat, it's a bawj, it's like a burden. You don't want to give in zakat, you don't want to spend. We can spend on doner kebabs and chicken burgers all day long. We can go to very expensive restaurants and we can eat and say, it's okay, you know, it's okay, I'm treating myself. I'm looking after my, we can buy expensive shoes and coats and say, it's okay, I'm treating myself. It's good for my mental health. When it comes to giving zakat in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we struggle and we find it a burden. So Imam Abu Dawud rahmatullahi alayhi brings a beautiful hadith that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Sayyidina Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu as a zakat collector. So what happens, zakat collector would come and say, bring everything that you have out. Because people wouldn't know what to give, especially when they had animals. So this one sahabi, he brought all of his camels and goats and sheep and everything out. So Sayyidina Ubay ibn Ka'b looked at it and he said, there's one small camel, that's all you need to give in zakat. So this sahabi is saying, how can I give a small camel? He said, it doesn't give any milk. You can't even ride it. It's not even suitable for riding. Rather take this. He had this most expensive she-camel and he said, take this. Take this one instead. Sayyidina Ubay ibn Ka'b said, I can't take that. I'm not allowed to take that. Your zakat is just this small camel. He said, no, I can't give you that one because I don't think it's right. What are you going to do with that? It's too small. You can't benefit from it. You can't run. So this is how they would think. Sayyidina Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu said, look, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is nearby. Let's go to him and then you can mention this to him. I can't take it until he gives me permission. So they came back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, look, this is your zakat. And he said the same thing. He said, ya Rasulullah, what benefit is this small camel? It's not going to give anybody any benefit. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, look, that's your zakat, you give that. But on top of that, if you want to give this, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you for that. So he said, ya Rasulullah, this is for the sake of Allah ta'ala. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did the dua of barakah upon his wealth. Because remember, zakat is a form of purifying your wealth. Zakat purifies our wealth. We should be eager to give zakat. It's before we give zakat, our wealth is like it's got impurity. And once we give the zakat, so zakat means to purify, to clean. So it cleans our wealth, makes it blessed. And that's why people have barakah in their wealth, spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anyway, what happened was in the time of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, some people just said, we're not going to give zakat anymore. Zakat collectors would come, they say, sorry, we gave it in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but we're not going to give it anymore. After Rasulullah has passed away, we don't need to give it. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, I will fight them. Even if they had a rope which they used to tie a camel, even if they don't give that rope in the path of Allah, I will fight them. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, I thought Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is being a bit too strict. And then he quoted, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu quoted this hadith that I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioning that, not this hadith. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu quoted a hadith in which he mentions that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, once a person has said the kalima and embraced Islam, then their wealth and their health is protected. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu became very angry. And he said, I swear by Allah, I will fight them even if they don't give a rope which they used to tie a camel. So then Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu realized that zakat is one of the important pillars of Islam. If somebody says, I'm a Muslim, but I'm not going to read my namaz, you're not going to say, it's okay, you're a good Muslim, it's okay. When you're ready to read your namaz, read it. Similarly, if someone says, I'm a Muslim, but I find it hard to give my zakat, you're not going to say, it's okay, you can do that. You have to. As soon as a person becomes a Muslim, they need to learn the rulings and rules and regulations of salah, and then the rules and regulations of zakat. They can't say, it's okay, let me just, for 1 year, let me just explore Islam and learn about, you know, nice things, and when I'm ready, then I'll do namaz. No, they have to start their salah straight away. So it's one of the, you know, fundamentals and foundations of our deen. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying here that once a person embraces Islam, establishes salah, gives zakat, then their health and their wealth is protected. Their health and their wealth is protected. Nobody can harm them. Nobody can do anything to them. Illa bihaqqil Islam, unless they do something in which they, for example, they harm someone or they do something. So for the right of Islam, then they can be taken to task for that. وَحِسَابُهُمْ عَلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, and their reckoning is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning, if somebody is giving salah, if performing salah and somebody is giving zakat, we're not going to judge them, we're not going to say this person isn't sincere, this person is just faking their iman, faking their Islam. And I think the hadith will come inshaAllah, we'll get to it when it comes. One of the most famous hadith is the hadith of Sayyidina Usama radiallahu anhu. When Sayyidina Usama bin Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he, in one battle, there was this one person, and this one enemy soldier, enemy combatant, and he was attacking everyone and fighting everyone, and he was killing so many Muslims. So Sayyidina Usama bin Zayd confronted him, and Sayyidina Usama bin Zayd actually made him defenseless, managed to remove his sword from him. And then when he lifted his sword to strike him, this person said the kalima. Sayyidina Usama still struck this man and killed this man. Sayyidina Usama radiallahu anhu's reasoning was, all this time he was killing the Muslims. And as soon as he was defenseless, and as soon as, you know, I overpowered him, he straight away said the kalima. So he's only saying it to save his life. Someone came and told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ya Rasulullah, Usama bin Zayd has killed someone radiallahu anhu, after the person said the kalima. So when Sayyidina Usama bin Zayd came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, I've never seen Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that angry. And he said, he didn't even look at me. And Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu was like a beloved, one of the most beloved sahaba to Rasulullah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would play with him. He would give him more love sometimes than he would give to Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhuma. And he said, Rasulullah was not even looking at me. And he was so angry. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, that did you kill someone after they said, La ilaha illallah? Sayyidina Usama radiallahu anhu, he said, ya Rasulullah, he was only saying it to save his life. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, did you rip open his heart and find out? هَلَّا شَقَقْتَ عَنْ قَلْبِي, did you open his heart and see that this is the reason why he said it? Once someone has said kalima with their mouth, regardless of what they were doing the second before, now their case is with Allah Ta'ala. We have to accept them for being a Muslim. So هَلَّا شَقَقْتَ عَنْ قَلْبِهِ, did you rip open his heart and find out? And Sayyidina Usama radiallahu anhu says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept on saying it, هَلَّا شَقَقْتَ عَنْ قَلْبِهِ, هَلَّا شَقَقْتَ عَنْ قَلْبِهِ, did you rip open his heart? To the extent that Sayyidina Usama said, I wish I had become Muslim today, that I had embraced Islam today, because I felt that what I had done was such a serious thing, such a bad thing. And that's why in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you had hypocrites who used to live in Medina. Many of them, Rasulullah would know that they are munafiq, they're hypocrites. They're showing Islam outwardly, but inwardly they have kufr and they do not believe in Allah Ta'ala. But because we judge people by the apparent, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not do anything to them. Even Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, the leader of the hypocrites, the amount of things he did, you know, if you go deeper into the seerah, you see the amount of things this man did. The way he would confront Rasulullah, the way he would swear at Rasulullah, the way he would talk bad about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was normal. He was the person who would always create something, cause a fuss, say things. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have so much sabr with him. Mainly because this person, Rasulullah knew he was a hypocrite. But because he is showing that he's a Muslim, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would leave him alone. So our job, the most important thing in all of this is that we should not judge people. We should not say, oh, this person is like this, this person is being fake, this person is showing off. You know, we have no idea. And sometimes, appearances are deceiving. We look at a person and maybe they have a certain way of speaking. Maybe they have a certain way of walking. Maybe they have a certain way of acting. And then a person says, oh, this person is so full of himself. Look at the way he speaks. This person is so full of himself. Look at the way he walks. We have no idea. The inside of the heart, what is the person's state and their connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have no idea, because the akhlaq, the qualities are in the heart. Some people display them and they have beautiful adabul mu'asharat and beautiful social etiquettes, and some people need to work on that. But we can't just say, oh, this person is like this and this person is like that. It's very important that we do not judge people and we regard everyone to be better than ourselves. Inshallah, Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to practice upon these few ahadith. SubhanAllah, bihamdihi, subhanAllah, bihamdihi, shudu ala, stuff.